You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In 2019, the kakapo population reached a record high 219 individuals after a bumper breeding season, where 71 chicks survived to adulthood. Kakapo are now only found on three predator-free islands, including Codfish and Anchor Island, where breeding is closely monitored by the Department of Conservation. I spoke to the kakapo recovery team's Bronwyn Janes about the threats to kakapo breeding and how her team manages these. To start, I asked her what was predicted for the 2021-22 breeding season.
Having reviewed the development of Remu fruit on the Kakapo Islands, we are expecting breeding on the southern Kakapo Islands this coming summer. The fruit levels are not as high as the 2019 breeding season, so we're not expecting record-breaking levels of breeding, but we are expecting quite a big breeding season with over 50% of the females to breed. And hopefully that will mean they produce a lot of chicks and we will continue to see the population grow, and we're all very excited and keen to see how it goes.
So how many chicks of those that are born will survive to adulthood? What are the major threats to their survival?
So the percentage of survival does vary quite a lot. It's once they actually hatch, they have a good chance of surviving to adulthood, and most will make it. Our biggest loss is actually between is the eggs don't hatch or that they don't develop. So sometimes this can appear that they're infertile or that they stop developing it very early. But once they actually hatch, they have a very good chance of developing, of actually succeeding and going all the way through to adulthood. But our biggest things that we watch out for So some of the chicks develop like breathing issues, so we check on the chicks quite regularly to make sure that they're breathing really well. And we also sometimes have problems, especially on Fennel Ho, where the Remu fruit doesn't always ripen. And if the Remu fruit doesn't ripen, then the mums struggle to feed their chicks, especially if they've got multiple chicks in a nest. So we have to keep an eye on how much food is available and keep an eye on the weights of the chicks to help ensure that they pull through. And if mum's struggling to feed them, then that's a point where we will pull chicks out of a nest and hand rear just to get them through if mum can't find them enough food.
So in the 2019 season, there were obviously issues on Codfish Island with aspergillosis. What does this do? Is it still expected to be much of a threat?
So yeah, 2019 on Fennel Ho, we had an aspergillus outbreak, which is a fungal lung infection that we had in the birds. Aspergillus is a fungus that is literally everywhere all of the time. And we don't yet understand why it suddenly became an issue in 2019, whether it was a really strong strain of aspergillus or whether there was an underlying health issue that the birds had or whether it was just the stress of the breeding season that made them more susceptible to it. It's literally something that you're going to be breathing in every minute of every day, and then constantly exposed to, and usually it causes no problems. So there's a lot of work happening with scientists and researchers all around the world to try and understand what happened in 2019. So we don't know whether we will see it again. We have a lot of plans to help control it and to hopefully get on top of it quicker than we did last time if it does rear its head. But we've never seen it as an issue as it turned up in 2019 before. So we suspect that there was something specific last year. And that we're unlikely to see those same specific things come together again, but we are working on defining it.
What role does technology play in breeding and survival, especially with recovery for aspergillosis?
So technology plays a huge role for the kakapo in terms of breeding and monitoring them. So every kakapo wears a transmitter, which provides them with like a unique radio signal, essentially, so we can track them. Those transmitters also record activity levels. So on the males, they record if they've mated and then check for any other transmitters in the area, so they can tell us exactly which female they've mated with, how long they mated for, and give a quality for that mating as well, so we know who they mated with and whether it was likely to be a successful mating or not. The females' transmitters track their activity levels and tell us whether they've started nesting or not, which then allows us to go and find the nests and do things like egg cantling and check on the nests and make sure that they've picked a good nest site that's warm and dry. We also use, we're using more and more technology to remotely monitor the birds, so we can actually see these activity levels, where the birds have been, what they've been up to in terms of nesting or breeding, whereabouts they've been on the islands, without actually having to go out and physically track in on them or collect the data from their transmitters using radio telemetry. So it all comes down to computers via a system we call Norinet. We also use a lot of technology to manage the feeding of the birds as well, since the birds have to be in really good nick to breed, and but you also don't want the females to be too fat, otherwise they produce majority male chicks. So we have smart feeders that only open for the right bird, allocated to most of the birds on the islands, and so the birds can access appropriate levels of food to fuel them through a breeding season. The technology in terms of aspergillosis is, it's not so much tech, it's just lots of research and data. We did a lot of collection of samples and bloods and health results and samples from all across the island, so there's a lot of research happening into it rather than tech.
On a slightly other note, do you think that climate change will impact breeding patterns much? What do you expect this to change?
So the kakapo are reliant on rimu masting, at least down here in the south. That's what we know triggers kakapo breeding. And for a rimu tree to mast, produce a mass lot of fruit, they rely on a pattern of hot and cold years prior to producing fruit. So if there's a hot summer in year one followed by a cold summer in year two, the rimu trees will pollinate in the summer of year three and then set fruit for a mast season in the summer of year four. And so climate change is likely to influence the sort of the temperature fluctuations we see, how hot, how cold it is each summer. We might see things that are more extreme, which is going to influence our rimu masting. It might mean that we end up with rimu masts more regularly if we do have more extreme temperatures, but we also see that severe winters pass after the pollination stage for rimu can result in a lot of fruit falling off the trees, and then we don't end up with a big mast the following summer, even though the fruit started to develop, it's all come off and it can't finish developing. And so the changes to either rimu masting regularity or causing masts to be smaller are going to impact on kakapo and their ability to breed successfully.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.